Doing well this morning. Hopefully you stay dry this weekend, all this rain we've been having. And whether it's your first time or maybe it's been a little while or maybe you're here every week, we're just so glad that you're here. And really, we're in the middle of a series. You just saw the video behind me on the screen and you can see the slide now. The series is called My Unforgettable Life. And I was talking to a friend last week and, you know, what could we say to really sum up the first 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks of this series? And they had a great thought, a great quote, and I want to share it with you today. This is what we've covered the last couple of weeks, just to catch you up light speed here today. Here's the quote. I love this. It's perfect. Do what you can with what you have right where you are. That's what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. Do what you can with what you have right where you are. And today I'm really excited about the message. Really, I'm on assignment today, okay? So I'm not just here just to preach another message and make you feel good or make you feel bad or anything like that. Like, I'm here on assignment today to preach to you from God's word. And I'm so excited about the topic. But first things first, before we dig in today to the message, I want everybody to grab what was in your seat or the seat beside you. Even if you know what this is, even if you filled it out last week, I just got to highlight this just for a second because this is uber important, very important for us to talk about again today. Now, I know we don't like doing stuff that people tell us to do, and so I'll use reverse psychology. Do not pick this up. But whatever you got to do to look at this that was in your seat just a moment ago. On one side, it says all hands on deck, and the side that I'm showing to you today says team up. And here's why this is important. I really believe that God has called us to be a church, not just to come and attend, but to come and participate in what God is doing. I don't know if you know this, but if you sit on the bench long enough, you get a sore butt. Just how it works. And so I want you to be in the game. I want you to be a part of what God's doing. And way better than that, God wants you to be a part of what he's doing. So this gives you some opportunities, some examples of how you could get plugged in. Well, Pastor Ryan, this is just our first week here. That's perfect. What a great time to get plugged in. Well, Pastor Ryan, I served before and I got burnt out, and so I'm scared to get plugged in now. I want you to know that if we all do a little, we can accomplish a lot. And so three things I want to talk about, and then I promise I'll get to our text and the message at hand. Number one, and these are all on one side of this card, it's double-sided. Number one, I want you to know that we've got 29 opportunities for us to fill by Sunday, May 13th. What Betsy and Enrique just talked about is we've got Mother's Day service. It's going to be incredible for all the moms in the house, grandmoms, future moms. It's going to be a great Sunday. And so we're believing God. Now, we're step out in faith, but we're believing God that all 29 roles will be filled by that Sunday. And so we want you to look at those different opportunities that we have. The second thing you've got to know, you've got to understand this, is that we're asking for most of these spots, most of them, in fact, all of the Sunday morning spots, we're asking for you to serve one service every other week or one service a month. And that's doable. Again, if we all do a little, we can do a lot. And then lastly, number three, you may be wondering, well, I don't know how to do this. I've never been an usher before. I've never worked with the kids before, but I want to get plugged in. Well, what about training? What about all of that? I want you to know there's no training necessary before you sign up. We'll do all the training afterwards. So there's no expectation that you went through this course or did this class or you've been a Christian for 5,000 years and now you can. No. There's no training, no prerequisites. All you've got to be is alive today, and hopefully you're that. And so you can serve and you can get plugged in. And so I just want to encourage you from God's word on God's behalf to get plugged in. So here's what you can do. During the service today, you can fill that out if you haven't already. You can fold it up and that offering bowl in the back, you can place it in there, and one of our ministry leaders or our staff will get in touch with you this upcoming week. And I'm just believing that we'll have them filled. And if you believe with me, can you just say amen? Can you encourage me today? Come on, can you encourage me more than that? Can you say amen with me? Amen. Amen. Thank you for the golf claps. All right, text today. We're going to be in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, this is going to be our main text, and we're going to read a few verses like normal. I like to preach the word of God around here. So we're going to be in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, all the way through verse 12. Now, if you're new to church, we're so glad you're here, and you may be wondering, where in the world is Malachi? It's actually fairly easy to find. It's the last book in the Old Testament. The first book of the New Testament is to its right. It's Matthew. And so if you can find Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, just flip back a couple of books, maybe even just a couple of chapters, and you'll find Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. And if you don't have a Bible or you can't download the app frantically before I read, we'll have it on the screen behind me if you're live here in person and not listening on our website. Malachi chapter 3, starting in verse 6. Here's what God's word says to you and me. I, the Lord, do not change. Say, pause for a second. Isn't that a great reminder for all of us today? That even though we change, even though we're led by our feelings a lot of times, that God never changes. That's good news for me. Maybe it's good news for you too. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you. That phrase, that sentence is important. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? What does this look like, God? Verse 8, will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how then are we robbing you in tithes and offerings? The room just got quiet here. Verse 9, you're under a curse, you whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. There may be food in my house. Test me. It's important. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there not be enough room to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Last verse. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. If you're taking notes today, here's the title of my message. I love this. All the money in the world. You can jot that down. All the money in the world. Let's pray. God, we love you so much, and I thank you for another opportunity to look to your word, and God, for your word to change us from the inside out. And so I just pray for my friends today. I pray for those that are new to this whole Christianity thing, walking with you, and also for my friends that have been doing it for a while. I pray for each of us here in this room and also those that will listen on their way to work tomorrow or during their lunch break. I pray for them as well, all of us. No one is exempt from this prayer. No one is exempt from your word. And I pray, God, that we would see it clearly, that we would learn from it, that we'd be open and honest before you, and that you would do what only you can do. Change us, we pray. Have your way in this house, in this church, in us, corporately and individually, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before I get into the text today, I just feel like I've got an obligation before you. And here's my obligation. I just feel like I've got to address two giant elephants in the room. Just feel like I need to do that. Before I can dig into Malachi and give you some context and extrapolate on what God's saying here, before I get to all of that, I just have to address the two giant elephants in the room. And you're thinking, what in the world is he talking about? I'm talking about myths out there. I'm talking about urban legends, things that aren't true, but we believe them to be true when you talk about these two things, God and money. I just feel like I've got to do some work before the work, if that makes sense. And so I'm going to give you today two myths when it comes to church and the money. And we've got to dig into them first before we can actually get into the text. And so if you're taking notes, jot this down. But here's the first elephant in the room, the first myth. It's this. The church just wants my money. It's quiet today, man. The church just wants my money. money. That's a myth out there. And maybe some of you believe that today. The church just wants my money. Maybe when I said that we were going to be in Malachi chapter 3, you knew what we were going to be talking about today. And maybe you nudged the person that you came with or your spouse. And you're like, I knew we should have slept in today. I just knew. Or maybe you're here and you don't realize that I've only been here for 5 months. And you're like, man, first Sunday here and they're talking about money. I knew it. Or maybe, just maybe, you were just wondering when was he going to get to money because it's coming. And so we've got these ideas. There's the elephant in the room today. There's two of them. This is just the first. And we've got these ideas, these schemas, things that we believe to be true that the church just wants my money. And so we've got to talk about why we're going to talk about money when it comes to the church. We've got to get this in our heart. So let's start at some common ground today, okay? Whether you're a Christian, non-Christian, we'll all agree on this part. Money is important. It's important. Like, you need it to survive. If you disagree, give me your money. I'll take it, okay? But like, money is important. We need it to live our lives. You've got bills like I've got bills, okay? And so we need money, but money is not just a survival thing. Money holds power. And we agree on that. Christian, non-Christian has power. Don't believe me? Wars are started over money. Marriages start and also end because of money. And not just bad power, but also money has great power, can do a lot of good things. Think about these nonprofits that you give money to and they're trying to cure cancer. That would be a great thing, right, to invest into. Think about the Hurricane Harvey relief that we did for the church and also all around the world. Really, people gave to that because you know people just like I know people who lost everything with the flood, with the hurricane. And so those are good things. We all agree that money's important, it's vital, and it has power. That's the common ground, but here's where we may differ. Money's not just important to you, money is also important to God. We may differ on that, but I'm going to prove it to you today. You know, in fact, if you read the whole Bible, and I've done it several times, you will find God's word talks about money and possessions in over 2,000 verses. And if you look at the subjects of faith and prayer, you'll find about 1,000. Faith and prayer is a big deal. We should talk about it in church. But the Bible talks about money and possessions twice as much as that. You're not listening to me. You're not believing me yet. So let me go a step further. Let's talk about Jesus for a second. We follow Jesus, right? We're Christ's followers. That's Jesus is at the center of our lives. If we're a Christian, he's at the center of this church. Did you know that Jesus talked more about money than heaven and hell combined? I mean, heaven and hell, that's important. Where we're going to spend eternity. And Jesus himself talked about money. See, please hear me today. When we talk about money, it's not just for the church's benefit, it's for your benefit. And not just you, for the people around you. And so you've got to understand what God's trying to get across to you today, that money's not just powerful or important to you and powerful to you, it's also important to him, and he can use it in such a great way. And I just got to tell you, I have made a commitment at this church to preach the Bible. I have made a commitment before I got here, and I will keep that commitment as long as I'm around, and hopefully that's for a long, long time. Made a commitment, and I'm not just going to preach the easy stuff. Oh, good job, Pastor. That touched me. Touched me. You can laugh, okay, because it's intense in here. I can feel it right now. It's so great. Oh, faith. Got to have faith. Oh, yeah, I want that blessing. Give it to me, Lord. Yeah, I'm not just going to preach the easy stuff. I'm also going to preach the controversial stuff. And if you want a pastor that's going to preach us the easy stuff, then you came to the wrong place and you're at the wrong church. I've made a commitment to preach everything in the Bible. So why would I be silent about a topic that the Bible screams about? I'm just saying. And so if God's word talks about it, I'm going to talk about it. And if you don't like it, I'll love you, but you should go somewhere else. I've made a commitment to preach the word of God. And so when we talk about this, it's not just for us. We're not trying to build any gold fountains that pour out Kool-Aid, y'all, okay? We're not trying to do that here. We're trying to reach people. We're trying to tell people about Jesus. So that's the first elephant. Hopefully that elephant can go back home. Talked about it for a second. Second elephant we've got to address. The second myth is this. And this is for the Christians in the room. Some of you think that tithing is just an Old Testament principle. It's very popular nowadays. I've heard this from so many Christians. I heard it from even pastors that will preach this from a pulpit, from a platform like this. And so maybe you're here today because I can feel, I know you can feel it too. I can feel the pushback. I can feel the tension. And so there's some people in the room today that you're thinking to yourself, well, that's cool what we read in Malachi, but that's Old Testament. That's the old law when Jesus came. I mean, this is New Testament. New covenant, tithing's an old school deal. This is new school, and somebody's thinking that today. I just know it, I know it, I know it. And so you're telling me in your heart, you know what, Pastor, if you could show me a place in the New Testament, I'd start tithing. If you could show me a place in the New Testament, I'm going to go all in with my finances too, and I'll up the ante. I'm not just going to show you a place in the New Testament. I'll show you something that Jesus said. That's in red, by the way, the red letters of your Bible. Go to Matthew chapter 23. It's the next book in the Bible. Matthew 23, verse 23. Here's what Jesus has to say to us today. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth, and that's what that word means. Tenth means tithe of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Check out this last sentence. You should have practiced the latter, talking about justice, mercy, and faithfulness, without neglecting the former. So even Jesus himself gave the approval for the tithe. And so we've got to understand today what I'm trying to get across from God's word, that when we talk about money, it is a necessity in the church. Money matters to you and it matters to God. Because here's the deal. Every penny that you spend on worldly possessions, every penny that you spend on that TV and that car and that boat, and there's nothing wrong with having that stuff, but every penny you spend on this earth, it's going to eventually end up in the trash. So once you think about it, nothing wrong with having a big TV. I love having a big TV. It's a great thing. It's from God. I just believe it. It's just so good. I thought I got an amen on that, but I just got a chuckle. But I'm just saying, I love having my TV, but nothing wrong with those things. But I got to tell you, every penny you spend to build your business or to go on this trip or to get that car or this house, it will eventually end up in a landfill. It's just the truth. I don't mean to be crass today, but I've officiated a lot of funerals, and I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. I'm just saying. Now, on the flip side of that, every penny that you invest into God's house, I'm preaching today, into God's kingdom, it's waiting for you in heaven with serious interest. It matters. It goes on for eternity. And so we've got to realize these elephants that we all have around us, these myths that we've maybe come to believe in. Hopefully that elephant has been dismissed as well. All right, now to Malachi. What's going on here? Let's get some context for a second. We're essentially flies on the wall when it comes to a conversation between God and his people. We're peering in the middle of a conversation between God and his people. And how does God start this conversation when we come in verse 6? He reminds them that he never changed. He reminds them that he's kept up his side of the deal, but then he also gives them truth and love that they have been missing it. That he's been faithful, that he's been good, but they've been missing it. And so they ask God, Well, how have we been missing this? How have we been messing up? Show us the way. And God tells them clearly that you have stopped giving of your tithes and your offerings. Again, the Hebrew word for tithe literally means a tenth. And they had stopped giving a tenth of their crops. They had stopped giving a tenth, sacrificing a tenth of their livestock. They had stopped sacrificing, giving a tenth of their income to God. And God said, you stopped there, but not just there. You also stopped with offerings. Now, an offering, if you're new to church, is above and beyond the tithe. In the Old Testament, what they do, this is fascinating to me. Certain times throughout the year, they would give special offerings to God. And they had burnt offerings and sin offerings. I mean, there are so many different times and seasons that they would go above and beyond. God, I love you. You've blessed me. I'm going to give you more. But not just that. There were certain times in the Old Testament that they would raise funds and they would give money to build the temple or to rebuild the temple. It was falling apart. It was falling to pieces. And so they would invest into God's house where his Holy Spirit, his presence dwelt. And God looks at them and says, you have been neglecting what I've commanded you to do. And maybe you're in that place today, that at one point you were tithing and honoring God consistently, but you drifted away. Or maybe you're at that place today where you've never obeyed God when it comes to the tithe and going above and beyond that at certain times. Well, we've got to get back to the place where we honor God. And so we see here at the beginning of verse 10 that God tells them, you are to bring the tithe into the storehouse. What's the storehouse? It's the local church that you attend. It's where you get your nourishment, spiritual nourishment from. And when we do that, we're actually just giving back to God what's already his. I mentioned this before, but I want to say it again. When we tithe, and my wife and I, we tithed before we were married. I tithed way before I was ever a pastor or thought I'd be a pastor one day. Why? Because God commands us to do that, and I want to honor him. But when we tithe, we're not giving to God. We're returning back to him what's already his. You've got to see this. I'm helping somebody today. I'm teaching. When we tithe, we're returning back to God what is already his. That's the verbiage that we see here in Malachi. We're returning it back to him. This last Christmas, I love Christmas. One of my favorite times of the year. And this last Christmas, my boy, his name's Luke, he's 4 years old, about to be five, he decided that he was gonna give his dad, me, a present. It's a great thing as a dad to know that your son's gonna do that. And so he went to his room one day and he put together this present, and he got tissue paper and he wrapped it up and taped it all up and he put it inside one of those gift boxes and gift bags and put some tissue on top and he put it underneath the tree. Amazing. And so I saw it there for several weeks and he was just so excited to give it to me and I was excited to receive it. And so Christmas morning comes around. And I don't know how you do Christmas at your house, but at our house, we open up everything basically on Christmas morning. Like we get up at the crack of dawn, roosters crowing kind of deal, and we dig in to our presents. And so I'm there, and we're all gathered around, and we like to divide them up and go one at a time, so we milk it. We make it last for like hours at our house. And because I want to take it in. I want to enjoy. I want to see people open up the gift that I gave them and vice versa. And so it gets to the point on Christmas morning where it's my turn to open up the gift that my son gave to me. Remember, he's 4 years old. And so I get the gift bag and I peek in, I take the tissue paper off, and lo and behold, he gave me one of his 12-inch action figures. That's what he gave me. Beat up action figure. I mean, just he probably was tired of it. I have no clue. And it was the Hulk, if you're wondering. And so there it is, right there in my gift bag from my son. And so how do you think I reacted when I opened that up? I was excited. I was so happy to get that gift. It was an amazing thing that he would think of me in such a way. I didn't ask him to give me a gift, that he would think of me in such a way that he would willingly say, you know what, I want to give this to you. But here's the deal. You got to see this. Here's the truth you already know. My son didn't really give me that toy. Just think about it for a second. He didn't really give me that toy. Why? Because he didn't buy that toy. Last time I checked, he didn't have a job. And I've looked online, and it's like against the law to like make them work. So I just got to hold off on that. But like, he didn't have a job. He doesn't have discretionary income. He doesn't have anything like that. And so he didn't buy that toy. I can promise you. Who do you think buys most of his toys? This guy, right here. And so he didn't buy that toy. So really, he didn't give it to me because it was already mine. He returned it back to me. I want you to see here the similarity. He didn't give me something because it wasn't his to give. He returned it back to me. Now, was I still excited to get it? Absolutely. Did it still make me smile? Absolutely. Why? Because he showed me that he cared about me. And not just that, he showed me that he could trust me. Well, how did he show you that? Here's how. He knew, knowing his dad's character, that if he gave me something that he thought was his, if he returned that back to me, I love him so much that I would get him something even better. He knew that if he returned something back to me, that his dad was a good dad. And I'm not perfect, okay? Don't put me on some pedestal, but I love my son. And if he gives something to me like that, I'm gonna give him something way better than what he returned back to me. And that's what happens with God. We don't give the tithe. We return back to him what's already his. And he loves it when you do that. And when he sees that you return it back to him, he's like, well, I'm going to give them more. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to open up the windows of heaven. It's going to be so incredible for them because they trust me with what matters most. So tithing is not giving. Okay, if I was taking notes, I'd write this down. Tithing is returning and tithing is trusting. I'm gonna say that again. Tithing is not giving. Tithing is returning and tithing is trusting. I love this quote by John Bonnell. It's an amazing quote, and I think it describes what we're talking about so beautifully. Here's what he said. If one first gives himself to the Lord, all other giving is easy. That's so true. If you first give your everything to God, all other giving is very easy. But here's what we do all the time. Instead of giving God the tithe, and instead of giving God the first 10%, which is called the first fruits in the Bible, I don't have time to get into it today. Instead of doing that, what we do a lot of times is we like to give God our leftovers. Man, it's quiet today. I wonder why. We like to give God our sloppy seconds. Did he just say that? I just said it. We like to give God what's left over. So we come into a service like this, and if the message is good, and if they sing my favorite song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, it just gets me in the feels, y'all. I mean, just come on, it just makes me feel something. If the church is really nice to me, and they visit me in the hospital, if the pastor shakes my hand and hugs me and tells me I look good today, if this happens or that happens, then I will give something to God. We sit down and whoever does the budget in your house, I don't know if it's you or your spouse or maybe you're still in your mom and dad's house, so they help with that. But whoever does the budget, when you're dividing up, okay, this goes to the mortgage and this goes to our car payment and we're setting this aside for savings. This is going to be for our vacation this summer. When you're doing all of that, we should do the tithe first, but so often we do all those things and then we get to the tithe. We give them the leftovers. That's not what God has called us to do, but that's what we do. If we have something left and if I'm feeling generous this week, then I'm going to give. Let me talk to the married folk in the room for just a second. Help explain this a little bit more. You remember your wedding reception? Do you remember it? I'm talking about the event that delayed the best blessing that marriage provides later that night. You know what I'm talking about? Just gonna let that sit there for just a second. I'm not talking about kids, okay? I'm talking about what you do to make kids. So anyways. It's in the Bible, so I can talk about it. Y'all just needed to laugh today. It's just too tense in here. You don't see what you look like right now, but I see you. It's just too tense. And so So we've got this thing called the wedding reception. So you've got the wedding and then you've got the reception. And I don't know how you did your wedding, but the commonality is you most likely, if you're married, you most likely had a wedding cake, right, of some sorts. Even if you just did the punch and cake deal, you had a wedding cake. Now, you go to some weddings, and it's like 10-course meal, and, you know, the bride's got a cake, and then the groom, and then they got a cake together. I mean, it's just this amazing thing. And so I don't know what it was like, but regardless, most of us had some sort of wedding cake at our reception. And you know how it works. Who's supposed to get the first piece? The bride and the groom, right? It's their wedding. It's why you're there. They're supposed to get the first piece. But I just want you to imagine with me for a second that you have your wedding, and then you have that reception that's way too long, and you go to that, and you show up, and they ate all your cake. Like, you show up, and you're presented, and you're excited, and it's amazing, and they didn't even save you the first slice. They ate it all, and all that's left over are the crumbs. So imagine with me for a second. So whether you're calm or you're serious kind of personality, you would be upset. Why? Because it's your cake. You spent $15,000 on that cake. Can somebody testify today? I mean, that is a messed up market right there. I mean, just a dress you wear once is $30,000. Like, come on. This is ridiculous. Just say it. If you're in that field, I'm sorry, but just, you got it made. And so you spent money on that cake, and you sampled all these other cakes, and you fought about what the filling was going to be, your first fight. And it was just insane. It was crazy. And there you are. I'm not speaking from, like, my life or anything, but you're there, and it just crumbs. That's it. You would be upset. You would. It's the principle, right? I mean, come on. The bride and the groom, they get first piece, and then you've got somebody in your family. They've got the audacity to say, no, we saved you a piece, as they grab a plate from Uncle John that's got half left over. It's messed up. You'd be upset. It's the principle of it. But you know where I'm going here. What do we do with God? Celebration's for God. Our life, it's for God. This church is, it's for God. Everything that you do, everything that you are, it's for God. It's his thing. So often, we dig into what's really his. Oh, I forgot, God. Here you go. And we'd spit out some crumbs and hand it to him. The offering bowl passes by. And so we feel guilty and we feel condemnation because we didn't give 30 cents to St. Jude's Hospital at Chili's last week. And so we throw in some dollars. And I got to tell you, friend, that's not the type of giving and generosity that God has for his people. We've got to get back to a place where we honor God with the tithe. It's his and not ours. And getting back to Malachi, you got to understand something about God. God doesn't need your money. And I want to be honest with you today. The church doesn't need your money either. This is going to hurt some people's feelings, but I'm just preaching God's word. That if you're not faithful to what God has called you to, he's going to send somebody else. I just believe that. We're doing God's work. People are getting saved here. People are getting set free. We're water baptizing people. We're supporting missionaries all throughout the world. Like, if you won't be faithful, God will send someone else. But can I tell you from a pastor's heart today, I want you to be faithful. I want God's best for you. I have full confidence that every need that we have will be met. This isn't just for me or this church, it's for you. I'm calling you to a higher standard in life. What's that higher standard? It's being obedient to what God has called you to, even when it's not easy. I want God to look at you one day and say, everything I asked you to do, you weren't perfect, but you tried your best to obey. And lightning fast today, I'm gonna go quick. I want to give you, from God's word, just preaching God's word, I want to give you three amazing promises from our text today in Malachi that God promises, these things God promises you will happen in your life. I want to give them to you, lightning fast, but first, one more little side note. Another thing you need to understand about our church, you need to understand about me as the pastor, is that we do not perpetuate the prosperity gospel here. Before I get to the amazing promises from God's word, you need to know that from the senior pastor to you, okay? We do not perpetuate the prosperity gospel here. What's prosperity gospel? Prosperity gospel says that as long as you are a good Christian and do the right thing, that everything good in your life is going to happen and no bad is going to happen. That's the prosperity gospel. And I got to tell you, God never promises that bad things will not happen to you. God never promises that if you tithe and you have good church attendance and you're never going to get a ticket, never going to get fired. God never promises you that. So you need to know that. Another thing you need to know is we also do not push the poverty gospel here. You know that. Well, what is the poverty gospel? People believe that everybody's called to be Mother Teresa. That if you're a Christian, you should be poor. People believe that, and maybe you do too. I got to tell you today, when I read God's word, I don't see that either. That if you're a Christian, you should be poor. If you're a Christian, you should never go on vacation. No. You can have nice things, but here's a question I've got for somebody today. Do you have possessions or do your possessions have you? Do you have possessions or do your possessions have you? So we're not for prosperity gospel. We're not for the poverty gospel. What are we for? We're for the pure gospel. What's the pure gospel? You're going to go through some mess, but God's going to be with you. Life's going to be hard. You're going to have bills to pay. Kids are going to act up. People are going to break their promises. You're going to go through what seems like hell on earth. Man, aren't you glad to be in church today? Woo, just feel it. But the pure gospel is when you go through trials of many kinds, I am with you. That I have overcome the world. In fact, I want to read it to you. Just paraphrase it. John 16:33. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. We believe in the pure gospel here. The pure gospel. It's what we're all about. So lightning fast, real quick. I want to give you the three things here in Malachi. God's promise to you, if you make a course correction today and you begin to honor him with the tithe, and I hope you will. Number one, you can jot this down, uncontrollable blessings. It's in verse 10, uncontrollable blessings. I don't know about y'all, but I want me some of that. I want that. Uncontrollable blessings. But in order to experience the blessing, you've got to allow God's money, and it's all his, to pass through your hands. Does it make sense to us logically? Because here's what we think in America. That the tighter that I put my fist around things, the more control I have. We believe that here in America. The more I clench my fist with my money inside, the more control I have. And I got to tell you today, that's not true. Actually, the opposite is true. That when you have an open hand, and when God blesses you, it passes from your hand to someone else, then God gives you more. Opens up the floodgates of heaven. He pours out blessing upon your life. Pastor Ryan, why are you so passionate about this? Because this is my life. Way before I was a pastor. I didn't even know I was supposed to be a pastor until I was in college. So there is no strings attached. There's no ulterior motive here. The only motive I have is to teach you to do what God has called you to do. It's my calling. It's my purpose. I would be doing a bad job if I didn't teach you God's word. And what he has to say. You gotta let it pass through your hands. He wants to bless you. Do you have possessions or do your possessions have you? Somebody's gotta wrestle with that today. You could do more with 90% blessed by God than 100% without him. I can testify to that my entire life. My mom and dad can testify of that. Number two, unquenchable blessings. Personally, this is one of my favorites of the three. I love everything about God. But in particular, this gets me fired up. Because God promises in verse 11 that he's not just going to bless you as you honor him with the tithe, but he's also going to protect the blessing. That just fires me up. He's not just going to give you something and then convince you that you're going to be okay, and then the next day it's gone. He's going to bless you, but then protect the blessing. He's going to be with you. God knows that there's an enemy of our souls out there, and he's trying to take us down. He's trying to steal from us, trying to rob us. God knows that our life is on shaking ground. So he gives us these promises that we can take to the bank. We can cash that check, that when he blesses us, he's going to protect the blessing. Number three, unhideable blessings. Now, I know we got some English majors in the room, like, that ain't a word. I know. I had a thing going here with un and ending in able, okay? So I just had to make it work. Unhideable blessings. Verse 12. I don't know if you remember how the passage ended. But God says, not only am I going to bless you, but when I bless you, everyone else is going to take notice. When I bless you and my hand is upon you, my anointing, my power, when it's on you, people are going to see. They're going to testify of my goodness. And that's what I want for me, and that's what I want for you. More than that, that's what God wants for you. Can you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes. God, I did my part today. I fulfilled my commitment that I made before you, that I will never stay silent on topics, issues, problems that your holy word is loud about. That's what I've done today. I'm not ashamed of what your word says. And God, right now I come against anyone in this room that they're feeling guilt or condemnation, because it's not from you. It's from one of two places. It's from the enemy or it's from themselves. So often we hear a subject like this talked about in church, or we ask somebody to if we can donate this to that nonprofit. And when we don't, so often we feel condemnation, we feel guilt. That is not my goal today. And more importantly, that's not your heart. Instead, I pray for the Holy Spirit's conviction in your house. Conviction's a good thing. And I pray if there's anyone here that they've drifted away from honoring you with the tithe, the 10%. If there's anyone here that maybe they've never stepped into that realm of obedience to you when it comes to the tithe and offering, I pray for my friends today, being led by the Holy Spirit, that they would make a course correction. God, literally, that they would put you to the test, as your word says. Does it mean they won't still face issues and obstacles? Does it mean that the second they submit that check or they give online that everything's going to be perfect and hunky-dory? No. But what you did promise is that you'll bless, and what you did promise is that you'll protect the blessing, and what you did promise is that people would see your goodness upon us and would testify of how good you are. You promise that even through the storms of life, even through us being let go from our job, even through someone else getting the promotion when we should have been us, that you'll be with us, you will guide us, and you will lead us on the path you have. I pray for my friends today. Help them to be obedient to what you've called them to do. We love you, we trust you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking but me, please. We talked about giving financially today. But now I want to talk about giving of yourselves fully. An atmosphere like this is so great because it's supercharged with the Holy Spirit's presence. That tugging that you feel on the inside of you, friend, that sense of warmth and peace, even in the middle of your heart racing. That's not me. That's not a special sermon or a special song or keys playing in the background. That's the Holy Spirit drawing you, revealing himself to you. And even on a day where we talked about finances, I think it's so vital that before we end, and we're almost done, that we would talk about what matters above all, and that's your soul. So I want to ask you a rhetorical question with your eyes closed, your heads bowed. How's your soul? Did you wrestle with that? How's your soul? God forbid if you died on the way home today, do you have security in knowing where you would be for eternity? Or is there a question? Are you secure in where you would spend the rest of eternity? Or is there a question mark there? And if you're here today or you're listening later on our website, and there's a question, you're not sure of where you would go, heaven or hell, I want to give you a chance to be certain of your eternal destination. Eyes closed, please. Heads bowed. If there's anyone here that you're far from God, you want to dedicate your life to him for the first time or the first time in a long time, I want to give you that chance right now. And all you have to do is slip your hand into the air so I can see it. So if that's you, right where you sit, can you put your hand up? I see that hand. Anybody else? God's speaking. Anybody else? See that hand. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Don't miss your moment. All the believers are praying right now underneath your breath. For those that raised their hand a moment ago in this room and maybe right there where you're eating lunch or listening on the way to and from work, in the middle of your workout, right there, if that's you too, this is for you. So here's what I'm going to do. For the next few moments, I'm going to lead us all. I'm going to start it, but I'm going to lead us all in a prayer of commitment to Jesus. A prayer that talks about what God's word talks about. A prayer that says, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and that you also rose from the dead. And I ask you now to forgive me of my sins, to wash me, make me new. That's all the prayer says, and that's all it really means. And the Bible promises in Romans 10, verse 9, that if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you can know that you know that you know that your eternity will be in heaven with Jesus and not in hell. And that's what God wants for you. And that's what I want for you. So those that raised their hand a moment ago, and also all the Christians in the room in support, can you repeat this after me? Say this. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And so I put my trust, my faith in you. Forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. I will do my best to live for you from this day forward. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. 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 I don't know about y'all, friend, but ain't nothing better than that. Seeing people turn their heart towards Jesus. Could you do me a favor today? If you're able to, could you stand to your feet with me? I'm going to dismiss in 20 seconds. I left my copy in my bag, but I think they've got the slide they can show behind me. But if you gave your life to Jesus today, we've got free start Bible kits in the back. You can pick one up, encourage you to do that. There's a couple of things in there. It really helps you start on this new journey or to start again on this journey. So I'm getting ready to dismiss you. We're going to have a couple people at the front, myself included. If you've got anything going on in your life, anything that you need prayer for, anything you need agreement with, or if you've got a testimony, anything, we'd love to pray with you and speak with you. So a few of us will be down here. But besides that, we love you, and you are dismissed. We'll see you next week. God bless.